Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. We are delighted that you joined us for today's broadcast. Our prayer is for the Word of God to transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread. Now let's get into the Word with Apostle Trevor Banks.
Tonight, I want to talk to you about, you want to take a look deeper. We're in pursuit of the glory, right? And Lord dropped this title into my spirit when I was studying this. Your way or Yahweh? Your way or Yahweh? Remember, we finished Sunday with a statement about how it's important to die to self or die to the promise. And we want to take a look into the sojourning or the journeying of Israel. God called him Jacob a lot of times during this time because of the frailty of their character. Jacob was frail. Jacob, once God dealt with him, he became Israel. But it was Jacob before that. So we see, you know, God doesn't say Abraham or Isaac, he calls him Jacob. And it's because of the frailty of their personality. But I want to take a look into something here. If you go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, and this is what we looked at initially Sunday. And we stand somewhat in awe of it. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 2 says, There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. That one verse is packed with revelation as to what's happening here. Israel was 3 months disposed from Egypt. I want to clarify something too, so that we understand the wilderness. If you're like me, when you think about wilderness, you think about, you know, just barren nothing, just mountains, rock, sand. But Israel's wilderness, the wilderness they sojourned through, wasn't just sand and rock. It was what that word wilderness in the Hebrew was defined as uncultivated territory. In other words, there was stuff that was there. That's how they were told you could find the ingredients to the anointing oil in the wilderness. It wasn't just sand, it wasn't just rock. But they had to be thinking more of pressing into God's presence than their present circumstances. And they were always distracted there. So it says there were 11 days from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea was the entry point, entry into the promised land. We know from history, God didn't take them that way. Though it was only 11 days journey. Isn't that amazing? But God didn't take them that way. And now, tonight I want to build on something out of verse 6 out of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. But before we go there, how many remember what Horeb represents? The Mount of God, right? The mountain of God. And how do we define the word Horeb? It's sometimes known as Mount Seir, but it's Horeb. What does Horeb mean? Desolation. Emptiness, right? And so what does that mean to us? If the mountain of God means desolation and emptiness, like Elijah, when Elijah finally arrived at the mountain of God after warring against Asheroth and Baal and Ahab and Jezebel, when he finally arrived there, he had a perception, and he told God, you know, I'm the only one left. But God let him know, no, there are 7,000 that haven't bowed. What God did at Horeb when Elijah came there, he emptied him. See, he spent 40 days in the wilderness all by himself to empty himself of himself. So see, when we come to God, the purpose is for God to transform us, but it's important that we, in that encounter, empty ourselves. We die to self. We're not coming to God accusing. We're not coming to God. You know what I mean? In that presence, when we come to him, the purpose of it is for you, let me say it this way, to empty yourself of yourself. We talked about Joshua when he was at the wall of Jericho and the angel of the Lord, Joshua said, are you for us or against us? And he said, no. That means I'm not for you and I'm not against you. I have an agenda. You got to drop your agenda, and I'm not fighting against you. But notice something. In that encounter, sometimes it may feel like God is against you. Joshua drew his sword. He was ready to fight. Listen to me again. Sometimes in that encounter, it may feel like God is against you. You know, the Word of God says anyone that comes to God, he must first believe. But any son whom God receives, what does he do first? Ain't nobody over here saying nothing. Deacon Smith, what does he do? I should ask you that. I don't know you. No. Okay. Chase it, right? Okay. That's enough. It could be a long explanation, about three paragraphs. Chasing. Now, to us, you know, when we talk about chastening a son, it's not always getting the switch. You know, it's not always, you know, sometimes it may involve that, you know. It may be physical, you know. But chastening in its purest form means to bring someone into a pattern. When God chastens a person, it's not like God is sadistic. He like whooping folk. Here come another son. Let me whoop his behind. No, he has a pattern. The pattern is the son. And so when someone comes, God chastens him. How? What does that mean? He deals with stuff that's outside the pattern. He doesn't do it in one day. You know, there are times he'll do something and bring you into the pattern. You know, okay, you move. But then there's another time and another season where God says, okay, I got to deal with that. There's a chastening. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Happy is the man whom the Lord chastens. Why? Because he's bringing you into the pattern. More of Christ's likeness and less of your likeness. That's really what it's about. That's when we understand that, we don't give the devil any victory. It's not the devil has never been given the right or the ability to destroy a saint. If anything, it's to buffet you. To buffet you from pride or any other contention, strife, you know, vainglory. That's what's why. To keep you in the pattern till we fully represent him. So in the old covenant, Mount Sinai or Horeb, so many things happened there. When Israel encountered God, the title of this message is Your Way or Yahweh, because what we see here in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 1, the Lord said, the Lord our God spoke unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. Look at someone and tell them, you have dwelt long enough in that mount. God talked to us. He talks to us about seasons. He said, you know, the stork knows the time of this migration, the turtle dove, all these animals instinctive numbers. He said, my people don't know my judgments. Religion will lock you into a routine of something where you refuse to change. Because this is the way I've always done it, and this is the way I'm going to always do it. God doesn't change, but that don't mean you don't change. God has no need of change, no reason to change. But he changes us. We must purpose to go from glory to glory to glory. So what he's saying here in verse 6, you've dwelt long enough in a certain mountain. You've dwelt long enough in a certain space, in a certain attitude, in a certain routine. He says, you've dwelt long enough. See, the enemy doesn't want you to... See, the enemy in Daniel, he seeks to change times. To take you away from God's rhythm. I mean, there's a rhythm. Nature has it. Everything has it. Everything moves in seasons. It's like a song. Even the trees of the field clap. You know, everything is worshiping. And there's a rhythm. There's a cadence. There's an orchestration that God has. And this is when we talk about aligning ourselves. It's not seeking to try to be perfect. You'll always miss the mark at some point. But it's aligning yourself, getting into that rhythm. They were told in the wilderness, when you see the cloud move, move. And they spent one full year there in the wilderness of Sinai. 3 months after leaving out of Egypt, God brought them there. And from Horeb, or Sinai, to Kadesh Barnea was only 11 days. Now let's take a look at why history unfolded the way that it did, and it was never God's fault. We're talking about your latter being greater than your former. Amen. Is that right? Your latter end is going to be greater.
Have you ever felt like God was calling you higher than routine, higher than religion, higher than just going through the motions? In The Rise of the Remnant, Apostle Trevor Banks Sr. helps you discover how to leave behind the weight of hypocrisy, distraction, and doubt, and rise into the fullness of God's grace, using the very skies above us. From the troposphere to the stratosphere, Apostle Trevor Banks shows us what it means to grow in faith, to push past obstacles, and to live as the authentic you. This is a call to transformation, a call to go deeper, a call to rise. Don't settle for surface living. Be part of the remnant God is raising up. The Rise of the Remnant by Apostle Trevor Banks. Available now wherever books are sold.
Thank you for listening to On to Perfection. If you would like to order today's message, or if you want more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.reslifefl.com. That's www.reslifefl.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.